Welcome to Films from the Phantom Zone, your podcast about failed and forgotten comic book movies, where we watch a forgotten superhero movie and decide, does this belong in the Phantom Zone to be forgotten for forever, or out and about for everyone to rewatch and remember fondly? My name is Arnaldo, and I'm your host, and I'm joined by
Birdo.
I didn't mention last week, by the way, on the Ant-Man review that like I wasn't feeling good.
Oh.
So I mentioned it off air. Like to the stream.
So you're just like, and then Ant-Man.
Yeah, yeah. And out of context, that didn't make any goddamn sense. So I apologize. I was feeling really ill. You could have
like recorded something real quick. Yeah, and
I didn't do that either.
Inserted it.
No, I didn't do that either. So I was actually sick. I took Wednesday off. And Whoa. It gave me the time to edit that episode and get it out. But
yeah, I saw that got uploaded. I'm like, that was quick. I'm like, there's no way he's at work right now.
No, I was off all day. It was great. I love sick days. Other than like feeling like shit, right. Sick days are the best.
Well, it's a day to just rest and not feel shitty about it.
Oh, yeah. I slept all day. I watched a ton of TV. It was great. I played video games.
Did you use fantastic. Like, do you have sick days that you can use? Is that what you do?
I do.
That's nice.
I didn't realize that. I thought I had to use PTO, but then I got up at my normal times, so like 5 a.m.
Right.
And I felt like ass. So then I had to read my company's handbook. And
you're like, wait, can I do this?
Yeah, because I didn't want to take any PTO because I'm saving it for like vacation, right? Like, that's what you're supposed to use that time
right.
for. So I feel better now.
Yeah. All right. That's good.
But, Berto, what movie are we watching today?
Not so much a movie. I mean, damn it. I missed my chance to do my joke. We're watching Shazam starring Sinbad. Fuck.
No, you know what really fucked up is you did that one in the kitchen earlier.
I know. I was so excited to say it.
Oh, no.
No, we're watching the TV show Shazam from 1974.
Yeah. So our first rule, our fucking very first one was like, it has to be a movie. At the same time, it's like, you know, we like to pair stuff up and this didn't get a pilot movie. It just goes right into the show. Should have had a pilot movie, shouldn't it?
I think it would have been better because...
Even a pilot.
I was like, why is all of this established already?
Exactly. Yeah, let's get into it. Guys, we're doing this because Shazam! Fury of the Gods is coming out soon.
In a couple weeks.
Oh, cool. Sweet.
Well, as of this recording, a couple weeks. By the time this is out...
Probably like immediately.
It's probably already out. Shazam! Fury of the Gods is now in theaters.
So we wanted to watch this thing. A lot of times the TV shows we cover have a pilot movie because that was more common back in the day, right?
Yeah, it's a pilot movie to kind of ease you into the whatever the world of the show is.
Yeah. It was like a movie to set up all the characters on the premise, and then the episodes become episodic after that.
Right. Even though a pilot movie is just like, it's a long episode, basically. Like,
yeah.
That's all it really is.
Yeah.
Because the format of the show is generally the same, too.
Yeah, but this one didn't get one, but we're doing it anyway. So we're watching three episodes of Shazam from 1974. You can find this on Tubi.
Sometimes.
Didn't we try looking for it?
I saw that it was available on Tubi. Could not find it searching for it on Tubi. But there's a webpage for it on Tubi, but when I click on it, it says this is unavailable.
Oh, fuck.
It was very confusing. Maybe it's available on Tubi in like Canada or something.
Yeah. Shout out and thank you to my friend John, who found this totally legally for us.
Oh, nice.
And that's how we watched it. Guys, what we do here, we're going to do the background information, plot of the movie, in this case, three episodes of TV, analyze this to the best of our abilities.
Yep.
Before we do keep or cancel on...
There's a famous person in this?
On Michael Gray. No, he's not famous, but we're going to do it anyway. We have to do
Who's
somebody.
Michael Gray?
He's Billy Batson.
Oh, okay. Oh, the 30-year-old.
No, look, when we get to keep or cancel, we'll find out how old he was.
He looks about 30. Look at we'll that picture.
And then we'll decide if this belongs in the Phantom Zone. By the way, we're streaming on Twitch. Twitch.tv/filmsfrompz. Come hang out with us while we record the show.
We're fun.
Okay, so background. Birdo, we have talked about Shazam's comic book origin, I think this would be the third time. I don't remember what the first time was.
The second time was definitely Black Adam.
Black Adam, yeah, because we went through everything during Black Adam. I don't know, but we mentioned this before. I think it was just offhand.
That's a weird thing to just randomly talk about, but it sounds like us. So.
You know what, though? At some point, we were talking about Christmas movies.
Oh, you know what?
That might have been it.
Because Shazam's a Christmas movie. Also, I need to watch that Shazam before the new one comes out again.
Yeah, you could.
Since I feel like those movies will actually connect, unlike everything else in the DC universe.
Yeah, it would have been nice if this had any connective tissue with Black Adam. I mean, it kind of does. Like, Black Adam, like, referenced this. Like, you, like Shazam, the character, was in it.
Yeah.
But, like, the wizard.
So, it loosely connected, but...
Yeah. If you go back to the Black Adam episode, we went in, like, a real deep dive on Shazam and Black Adam and their origins. But just to recap all that, Shazam used to be called Captain Marvel. And we're entering an era where people might not know that because it's been a minute. And
at least a decade since he's really been referred to as that, maybe longer.
I have it here. Okay. It's more recent than you think. Obviously, like, all these characters are becoming a lot more famous now that they've got movies.
Right.
Since then, Captain Marvel, the Marvel character, has had a movie also. But Captain Marvel, Shazam, the DC character that we're looking at now, first appeared in Wiz Comics number 2 in February 1940.
And that's Wiz, W-H-I-Z, like you're peeing?
Yes.
All right.
Well, also like Wiz, like... Like a whiz.
That is not the first thing I thought of.
Like fast, you know. That's the thing, is like a lot of this,
a lot of language is very different.
Yes.
Now.
Yes. From back then.
Yeah.
From a comic book company called Fawcett, right? So his alter ego is Billy Batson, who's a boy. He says the magic word Shazam and becomes Captain Marvel. The superhero name was Captain Marvel. 1940 is the year after Superman debuted in 1939.
Okay. And all of this is still before Captain America, right? That was what, 1940?
Maybe early
40s. I thought it was like during World War II, right? Or right before it?
I thought it was like right before. I don't know, actually. We did Captain America.
We did it, but we did that a long time
so
ago.
It was like two years ago. Yeah. So his powers come from six immortal elders: Solomon, Hercules, Atlas, Zeus, Achilles, and Mercury. Five gods, one titan, and a biblical king.
A lot of them don't have any connections to each other in mythology.
Hercules, Zeus, Achilles, all and Mercury all do.
Yeah, but Atlas.
Atlas again was a titan. So right. So Zeus actually fought Atlas at some point.
Okay, so Solomon's the odd man
Solomon's the odd man out. Yeah.
Okay,
he's a Jewish king.
What's he doing here? What's he doing hanging out with these?
Get out
with these Greek gods.
He also has the Marvel family made up of Captain Marvel, obviously himself, his twin sister Mary Marvel. We mentioned this in Black Adam too. She appeared in Captain Marvel Adventures number 18 in 1942, and that makes her one of the first female spinoffs of a major male superhero,
which will become a trend in comics.
It does
still to this day.
Yeah, predates Supergirl.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, and we're getting Supergirl also in Flash.
That actually looks pretty, because it looks like the events of Man of Steel, but Supergirl. Oh,
yeah. I'm excited.
And Michael Shannon is Zod again. Yeah, that's pretty fucking cool. I hate that I'm excited for that movie.
It's almost like a little Endgame. Like, we're going back in time. We're going to relive some of the events of our past, but differently. But anyway, long story short, the 1940s Captain Marvel was actually outselling Superman. He was much more popular than Superman. Like, think of that for a minute. Like, going back to the 40s, and all the kids are into Captain Marvel now.
Instead
Superman.
Of Superman. Yeah.
But DC Comics, then known as National Comics, alleged that Captain Marvel was a copy of Superman, and they won.
Oh, that's fucked up.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. Superman was, like, the first superhero, really. You make any superhero after Superman, they're all going to look like copies. You know what I'm saying?
Except because for Spider-Man.
Well... Even then, like, the concept of, like, capes and, like, emblems.
Oh, all of that comes from Superman.
And costumes.
Yeah.
All that comes from Superman. Yeah. So, every superhero is derivative of Superman in some way.
Right. Well, there's been some before Superman, though, right? Like...
There were some pulp heroes before Superman, but
they're more like vigilante-like.
Right.
Yeah.
They weren't... There was, like, the Shadow.
Yeah.
And, like...
And they wear, like, the domino masks and stuff, usually.
Like, yeah. We've covered one of those.
How old is Zorro?
Oh, it was Zorro. Zorro also predates Superman. But they're not superheroes.
Right.
You know, so the concept of superheroes really starts with Superman. And anyone that would come after him is going to look derivative. And National Comics would litigate. They also, fun fact, sued several other characters, such as Wonder Man and Master Man. If they don't sound familiar, it's because they got buried.
Yeah. Wonder Man kind of sounds familiar.
I think there's a different Wonder Man.
Oh, okay.
Later. But
so I'm probably thinking about a different character.
Yeah, I think they borrowed the name. But this Wonder Man was a Superman copy.
Dead and gone.
Yeah, it was a Superman clone, and they sued him into oblivion. The litigation is notable because it is one of the longest-running legal battles in comic book publication history.
That's crazy, because there's Is this true still to today?
Maybe. It lasted 12 years.
Oh, damn. Because there's so many, like, comic book litigation.
Yeah. So by the end of that period in 1953, Fawcett had to cease publishing Captain Marvel.
Wow.
19 years later, in 1972, DC acquires a license to Captain Marvel and all his characters and integrates them into their DC continuity. So by the end, at the end of the road anyway, they're all together, so it doesn't matter.
Right. They're all under the same umbrella now.
Right. And there's an issue, I'm going to link it below, of Superman introducing Captain Marvel, and this is in the 70s.
Okay.
And for adults now, they might have remembered a time when they were kids, and these two characters did not belong together, and they would have might have been aware of the litigation between them. Superman essentially calling Captain Marvel a copycat.
Well, even today, though, they're still very similar in, like, how they operate.
Right. Like, you can see it.
Yeah, I think the newer movie even kind of makes light of that.
Really?
They kind of make, like, dude, oh, you're like Superman now. Which, they do a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. They look very generically the same.
Yeah, it's like, oh, giant muscular man invulnerable in a onesie.
I mean, they literally look alike. Like, their faces look alike.
The hair and everything. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Captain Marvel is might be a Superman knockoff.
However, by this point, as in by 1972, Marvel Comics had since taken the name Captain Marvel. So DC had to use the magic word Shazam as the character's branding, which led to long-term confusion over the character's actual name. It was a Zelda or Link situation where only the people that were, like, into Captain Marvel knew that his name was Captain Marvel, whereas
right.
new people would see that the comic would be called Shazam or, like, Adventures of Shazam, Tales of Shazam or something like that.
Right.
And they would assume that the character's name is Shazam.
And that's why this show is called Shazam.
Absolutely, yeah. This finally leads to DC renaming Captain Marvel into Shazam in 2011.
Okay.
So they weren't legally required to do that. They just saw it in their best interest to finally just cut it.
I think that's right before the first Injustice game came out, right?
Maybe. Was he called Shazam in Injustice?
I think that was the first thing I saw him called Shazam in.
I think it's for the New 52. And like,
oh, that was around that time.
Injustice was around the same time. Yeah.
Injustice might have predated it just barely. Somebody can correct me on that, I'm sure, at some point.
Yeah. So 2011, that's incredibly recent. I mean, in the grand scheme of things. This character's from 1940.
Yeah, that's when I graduated high school.
Oh, okay.
Not 1940, 2011.
Okay.
The last thing I remember him being called Captain Marvel in was the Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe game.
Oh, really?
He's actually called Captain Marvel in that. Yeah.
Nice. That was probably before 2011.
Yeah, that was like 2008, yeah. I believe. Yeah.
I think this only really works changing his name like that because there was already that confusion. And because even though he's one of the oldest characters in comics, essentially, like, out of all the ones that we have today and, like, the current zeitgeist.
Yeah, like him and Superman.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, he's also not that well known because of his publication woes. He's been out of print for so long.
Yeah, I think the movies have done a lot for his popularity.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, yeah. But, like, imagine you've got this character that's 70 years old at this point, and you're like, oh, let's rename him. Imagine renaming Superman.
Oh, and if they do something like that, usually it's like, we'll do it for, like, a single run to, like, do something different.
Right. It's like when Captain America said, Hail Hydra. They explained it later.
They explained it later. He's not actually Hydra, blah, 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 blah. Or when, like, Doc Ock is now Spider-Man.
Right.
Which was an incredible run, by the way. If you haven't read that, you should.
Or when they all die. Like, every character is going to die and come back.
Except Uncle Ben. And
jury's still out.
I think he only came back like once in like an alternate universe where he became Spider-Man.
That's funny. And then also, by the way, this is not the first show. We might have to go back and do this other one.
Oh.
Captain Marvel actually had a serial in 1941 called The Adventures of Captain Marvel.
Oh, well, shit. Maybe we should have done that one.
I know, right? I didn't know about it until like an hour ago. He actually holds the honor of being the first comic book superhero to be adapted to film.
I thought the Captain America serials were the first.
Apparently, this came first. This is 1941.
This seems like it predates it by like a year, maybe.
It predates like Superman and the Mole Men by like a year or something like that.
Superman and the Mole Men. Was that the cartoon?
No, that was like the first serial.
Oh. I remember there was like a really old Superman animation too. It's like
you're thinking about the Fleischer ones.
I think so.
Yeah. We might do some of those.
Those are like classic.
Well, those are, yeah. And they're, the animation is so well done. People have made all kinds of video essays about,
okay,
about it.
That's worth
those are responsible then, for several things, including, I think, maybe like freeze breath.
Oh, like they made new powers for him.
And flight. They made him fly in that show.
It's crazy that he didn't fly before
no,
that.
No, he just leap tall buildings in a single bound.
I see, now that you say it, I remember that.
Yeah. The show made him fly. And then after that,
flying's way cooler.
Yeah, way cooler. And then that was worked into his like canon or whatever.
It also, flying with a cape just looks better than like you can jump just high.
Jumping like a fucking flea.
Yeah, that's more of a Jessica Jones thing. Come on.
So this show, I feel like before we get into like talking about the plot, we need to explain what the show is a little bit, because it's
not a comic book show.
It's not. It's, yeah, first of all, but it's also like confusing if we just start talking about what's happening. This is a show where maybe like a 16-year-old Billy Batson.
That boy is not fucking 16 years old.
He feels like 16, right?
I don't know. I think it's like a Sam Raimi Spider-Man situation where it's like, let's get these adults, make them look as young as possible, and just throw them in the role.
I can look it up really
quick. It's what
quick.
It feels like to me. You know, everyone in high school is like clearly in their mid-20s.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
The students looked older than the teachers.
Michael Gray was born in 51. Oh, he was like 23?
Oh, I wasn't far off.
Oh, shit.
He was an adult.
He was an adult. But you know what? It's because he looks kind of like small and frail.
He looks small and frail, but he still looks old. Look at his face.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But his... Yeah,
he has a matured face.
His frame made me feel like he was 16 years old, and I don't know.
They just found a scrawny man.
I guess, yeah. Anyway, this is a show where I guess, like, canonically, he's probably still a teenager.
Traveling with an old
plus,
man.
Plus, that's who Billy Batson is. Like, he's a kid.
Yeah.
So he can't be 23. It's insane.
Well, thank God they didn't get a 23-year-old to play him in the movie. Because that would have been weird.
So let's just go with a 16-year-old Billy Batson. He's traveling the country with his mentor named Mentor in a goddamn Winnebago. All they're
Jesse,
doing
is, we gotta cook.
Yeah. All they're doing is looking for like injustices and like moral life lessons.
It's like mostly moral life lessons, it seems like.
Yeah.
Based on what we've seen.
There's no danger to be like stopped.
No, the danger happens while they're trying to help people.
Right, because that's the thing. This isn't really a superhero show, is it? It's a show with a superhero in it.
It's a kid's show about, like, moral lessons. That's all it really is.
Right. But because the premise of he's a superhero, they need to introduce, like, an element halfway through the show that would require a superhero.
Like
a car's flipping over or something like that.
Or it's getting picked up by a crane because a stupid kid's decided to jump in it.
Spoilers. But
that was so dumb.
You know what? I just get the feeling that, like, you know, we watch this. There is no pilot. There's no introduction. Like,
they're in the Winnebago and then they talk to the elders.
Right.
There's like a quick like introduction at the beginning, but it's like it feels like the show intro.
It's the show intro, and the show intro it's like what the Incredible Hulk did. It explains it way too fast. The Incredible Hulk also had a pilot movie,
which was rather good, we thought.
I just
check out that episode.
Yeah. I just get the feeling watching this that like it's the 70s and there's TV producers thinking like, what is the minimum amount of work that we have to, like, can we test the limits on what the minimum least amount of work we can do to put a superhero TV show on air?
It feels like this was already a different show and they put Shazam into it.
Oh, 100%. That could absolutely be
the case. Like, this was like some other person's like dream project for like a kid's show.
PSA show or something.
And they're like, what if we made this Shazam?
Yeah, same thing. But what if this character is actually the superhero character? He's a Captain Marvel from the
'cause there are parts of this
40s.
That feel very earnest.
I know, 100%. But I'm saying like, someone's just like, well, what if we make a pilot to establish the characters? No, absolutely not. Fuck that.
Throw that guy out the window.
You're doing, it's the meme. You're doing way too much. Let's just put it in the opening sequence. It'll take 30 seconds.
As a cartoon.
But like the 30-second opening sequence is just like a fucking info dump.
A very quick one, yeah. I would rather see text on a screen.
Because
I could at least absorb that
probably.
Information.
Do we need the actors for 7 elders? Absolutely not. Make them hand-drawn. What?
It's just hand-drawn animation. Billy's standing there live action talking to them.
Do we animate it? Absolutely not. Just their mouths move. Have you seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail? It's like that.
But we're playing it straight.
That's the thing. It's funny in Monty Python. But this is like very serious. These cartoon elders.
Yep.
Do we name the mentor character? No, fuck that.
His name is Mentor, everybody will call him that.
Well, that's the thing, too. I figured, okay, he's his mentor. He calls him that. But then when, like, other characters meet him, they're like,
hello, Mentor.
Yeah. What? So that's his name?
So I think the sheriff calls him, like, Mr. Mentor or something.
Just give him a name. What?
Steven.
Okay, his name is Steve. Call him anything. Daniel. Yeah. I don't know.
He looks like a Richard,
Mr.
though.
Mark. Fuck it. Who cares?
Richard.
Oh, God. No, do less. Do fucking less.
His name
less.
Is Mentor.
It seems incredibly lazy. I'm trying to give it the benefit of the doubt. And there's things we're going to talk about that I probably liked. But, like, holy shit. It's already coming off real lazy.
The first, like, 30 seconds.
Oh, my God. Also, the comics tried to recontextualize Mentor, by the way, by altering the character of Uncle Dudley to look like Les Tremaine, who's the actor. The character grew out a mustache.
That's interesting.
Yeah, the character grew out a mustache and started driving an RV. And in the comic, he tells Billy that the Wizard of Shazam chose him to be his mentor.
Is this the one of the first examples of, I guess, besides like the Superman thing you were saying, but like of a TV show version of, like, you know how Marvel does that right, like, now? They try to make it more in line with their movies.
I mean, maybe. Well, the thing is like when a big TV show is coming out.
Was this a big TV show?
I don't know. It's a Saturday morning bullshit. They're going to try to like align the comics.
They
so
want
that
some
the kids,
synergy there.
Yeah. So the kids will then go buy the comics.
Yeah.
So I think it's also a case of where the comic book writers are watching this going like, what the fuck? We need to make this better on our end.
And here's the thing. I feel like it's not as often as people think that people watch the movie and then read the, like, oh, I'm a big comic book guy now. I feel like that does not happen that often.
I mean, also in the 70s, there's like 10 shows on at a time.
That's true, too.
If you're a kid, there's like 3 shows for you, and they're only on Saturday mornings. Like, there was no other.
And you got your cereal and you're
block.
Just watching them.
Yeah. So there's no phones, there's no video games.
Yeah. So you got Saturday morning. Like,
and you have comics.
Yeah. Comics were a lot bigger then than I feel like they are now.
No, they absolutely
Which
were.
Which is weird because there's a lot more comics now.
Sure.
But I feel like there's less people reading them.
Well, there's more to do. There's movies and TV and streaming and video games and phones and TikTok and iPads and all kinds of dumb shit.
That's true. Like, comic books are still very niche.
I guess, yeah.
Despite the fact that comic book movies are like the biggest thing on the planet right now. It's weird.
Anyway, this show ran for 3 seasons and crossed over with an original show called The Secrets of Isis, about an ancient Egyptian superheroine resurrected in the body of a schoolteacher. The character Isis was then folded into DC Comics. She appeared in Smallville, Legends of Tomorrow, and recently Black Adam. We're idiots for not looking into this, by the way, when we did our Black Adam
Isis.
Episode. She is, her alter ego is Adriana Tomas. She's the girl. The lady.
The annoying mom yes. that didn't do anything?
Yes. So, I guess in like a
she's
sequel...
She's supposed to be a hero?
Yeah, I guess
she didn't do it.
Well, I guess in a sequel, she would have gotten like fucking... I don't know.
Powers.
She's Isis. I guess that maybe for a sequel, they're going to do it.
Oh, well, we know that's not happening now.
Oh, no. It's absolutely not.
I'm okay with that. I'm just happy we got Pierce Brosnan as Dr. Fate.
So we might watch, I don't know, maybe one episode of Isis. Who cares?
Or Smallville. We should do Smallville.
I don't.
We still got to do Superman Lois or Lois and
Clark. Yeah, we do
Clark,
Lois and
Clark.
Clark
and Kent. What the fuck's the show
what's,
called?
What's happening with you?
What's the show called?
It's Lois and Clark. Lois and Clark, yeah.
Clark and Because
it's a spinoff on the adventures.
Lewis and Clark.
Lewis and Clark.
Yeah. Meriwether Lewis and Clark.
And Clark.
I don't know his name. I don't know his first name. God. Fuck. What's happening to me?
So you got a Texas education. That's what happened.
Hang on. The Texas education system might have been the best one I was in, actually.
Right. Anyway.
Florida was the weak ass.
Isis might be one of the few instances where a comic book character came from a TV show. There's probably others.
I can only
think of Harley Quinn.
Right, because she started in Batman Animated Series, right?
Right. And then went back in the comics.
Was she created by Bruce Timm?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And Paul Dini.
Okay.
I guess.
I know everybody calls like that era, though, like the Timverse.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like it was both of them. Paul Dini and
I always hear Bruce about Tim. Bruce Timm.
Okay.
Maybe people just don't want to talk about two people. Happens all the time.
Happens all too often. Anyway, let's get started. Plot for episode one called The Joyriders. So here's the opening intro, by the way. Chosen from among all others by the immortal elders Solomon, Hercules, Atlas, Zeus, Achilles, Mercury, Billy Batson and his mentor travel the highways and byways of the land on a never-ending mission to right wrongs, to develop understanding, and to seek justice for all. In time of dire need, young Billy has been granted the power by the immortals to summon awesome forces at the utterance of a single word, Shazam, a word which transforms him in a flash into the mightiest of mortal beings, Captain Marvel.
Whoa.
It's a whole fucking paragraph they say in the beginning of every episode.
Thank God you wrote that down, though, because I completely forgot what they said. Like, I just straight up did not remember.
Well, there you go.
I know the overall background of Captain Marvel, right, though, or Shazam, whatever we call him now.
He's Shazam, but I mean, for the purposes of this episode, he's Captain Marvel.
He's Captain Marvel now. Got it.
No, but seriously, like, what a background. 30 seconds. It's very condensed.
Yeah.
A group of teenage boys on their bicycles try to coerce their friend into taking a car for a joyride. You know, drive around, listen to the radio and stuff, as long as we don't get caught. The boy named Chuck is reluctant to break the law, but wants to fit in with his friends, so he agrees.
He is very easily peer pressured into this.
Oh,
yeah. All they say was, oh, I didn't know you were a chicken.
That's it. That's all it took.
This is like some Marty McFly shit.
Oh, yeah. These kids, man.
They're little shits. I actually hated them.
I mean, this is setting up the moral lesson, right?
Right.
Like, were you ever peer pressured?
Not
were
like
you friends
that.
With bullies? Like,
no. If I was peer pressured, it's because, like, it was never to do anything bad, though. It was like, hey, come hang out with us.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, come on, don't be a loser. Come on, hang out.
Chug your drink, Birdo.
I'll do it.
No, don't do it. This is a joke. He's doing it, guys. He just did it. All right, anyway. Billy and his mentor drive around their fucking Winnebago, and Billy uses an advanced technosphere. I didn't know what else to call it. It's a very 70s, like, here's a...
It's like a 70s device?
Here's like a technological device.
That's like a future, gods are going to contact you on?
Right, but it seems like an alien device.
Well,
it's got little lights
what's
and
weird about
flickers
it is, it, like, it rings and lights up, but, like, he still has to be, like... He has to, pray to them to talk
yeah,
to them?
I meant to write it down what he says. He says...
it's something he says every time.
Dear elders...
He's like, please, something,
strong,
something.
Let me see your wisdom,
let me
something.
Talk to you.
Yeah. Also, every time he says it, it's the same exact shot. I don't know if you noticed that.
A lot of older shows did that,
though. It's the same. And I think that is the only reason why he's wearing the same shirt in every episode. I don't know if you noticed that Mentor and Billy have one outfit.
Yeah.
I think it's to reuse a lot of footage.
The fucking red long sleeve shirt with the yellow collar.
Right.
It's weird.
It's a little bit weird.
It's a weird outfit. Even for the 70s, that's weird.
So anyway, he uses an advanced technosphere to communicate with the elders. His consciousness is transported to their realm where he speaks to the hand-drawn immortals from the opening.
And they're still hand-drawn while he's talking to them.
Yeah, and he's not. He's live action.
You know what would have been really cool if they made him hand-drawn, too?
Sure.
Like, oh, this is like a weird realm where you're a cartoon.
It's like in Doctor Strange, where we just paint? Yes. They tell him he will encounter people who are afraid to be themselves and speak their mind against what they know to be wrong for fear of rejection. Billy understands that temptation, and the immortals tell him to use the words from Shakespeare's Hamlet, "This above all, to thy known self be true."
Weren't none of these elders around during the time of Shakespeare?
I mean, they're older than Shakespeare.
Yeah. So they're dead by the time Shakespeare did anything.
Oh, yeah. But they're around now. They're immortal.
I guess.
It's in the name.
I guess they, like, watched some of his plays.
I guess I find it fascinating that, like, they've been around for thousands of years and they're like, this guy, Shakespeare.
Remember Shakespeare? I mean, Shakespeare's iconic. He's a legend, but...
I just thought it's weird.
it's weird that they're just like, hey, remember that play, Hamlet? We love that play.
I got real big. Who's that dog? The TV show, that little dog that time traveled and taught you history.
What the fuck? Wishbone.
Wishbone. I got Wishbone vibes when he's like, hey, the moral lesson, let's use Shakespeare to teach it.
I don't know if he time traveled or if he just went into storybooks. It was something like though. Yeah, it was usually stuff, Shakespearean stuff, though.
It was all kinds of stuff.
I feel like all the episodes I watch were Shakespeare stuff. He was always wearing like a Renaissance hat or something. Well,
sometimes it was history, too. Like he went to like battlefields.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Wishbone was cool.
Yeah. Better than this.
But it's like the same concept.
Why technology and not magic? Captain Marvel's entire thing is magic.
Well,
that's why he says a magic is just word.
Science we don't understand yet.
You just didn't need the balls, I guess is what I'm saying.
No, you don't. Well, they even sort of allude to the magic and stuff when there's like random like thunder.
Yeah, when they get angry at them, there's thunder.
Because he suggested not walking 2 miles. What a joke. We'll get to that, I think.
The boys find the car with its keys inside and pull it out of the owner's driveway. Chuck expresses his concerns. This is someone else's car, and they can't just take it, even if they intend on bringing it back. Billy's Winnebago pulls up and scares the three boys, who drive away, leaving Chuck behind, who runs away from Billy. Billy chases him down the street, saying, hey, wait, I just want to talk to you.
But he's chasing him very aggressively.
Meanwhile, the boys realize their fearless leader is a horrible driver and doesn't know the rules of the road. Chuck's chase from Billy leads him onto a street where he almost gets run over by Mike and the boys. I guess the really shitty one's name is Mike.
Yeah.
Billy saves him, but he keeps running away.
So what the fuck did Chuck think they were doing when they said they were going to take a car and go for a joyride? And then they get the car and he's like, wait, this is someone else's car. That's the point.
Yeah, I think he knew that. I think he's just like,
let me try one more time to talk you out of it.
Yeah, like it's becoming much more real. He's scared. You know, he has morals and the other guys don't.
You went with them to steal a car and then you're like, hey, we're stealing a car.
Guys, please don't steal this car.
That's the whole point of going to the place. Also, did people really just leave their keys in their car like that?
It was a different time.
I can't imagine doing that.
Also, I know a guy, when he was young, they would like steal cars, go on joyrides, and just like leave them back.
Would they bring the car back or just leave it somewhere?
I don't know. I was like, dude, you could have gotten into a lot of trouble. He's like, oh yeah, I was a piece of shit. I was like, oh damn.
Didn't Sable's car get taken for a joyride?
No. Sable's car got stolen.
Right, but was it a joyride? Because it was just like dropped off somewhere. It was weird. That situation was very weird.
It was intended to be stolen. The plates were taken off.
Oh, like they were just trying to like...
It was dropped off to cool down.
Okay. They were trying to keep that shit.
Right. But the cops found it. So there's a fair amount of action here, which I honestly, it's fine.
Well, this is also probably the most action that we see in these three episodes that we watched. Yeah,
100%. Yeah. what about Billy Batson says he's a figure of authority?
Nothing. He's a scrawny kid just like sprinting around like, chasing another kid.
And Chuck's like, fuck, I gotta go. It's a 5-0.
Very weird.
Having lost Chuck, Billy expresses apathy towards the situation. Let someone else deal with them. A mentor suggests Billy might be the only positive influence in Chuck's life if those three boys are his only friends.
That's like so sad.
I know. That's when I was like, oh man, the moral lesson's trying to get me. Just then, Billy recalls the elder's words and is motivated to try again. Meanwhile, Chuck finds his friends and confronts them for ditching him and almost running him over. They tell him that he's free to find some new friends if he's too chicken to join them. Chuck pleads to stay friends with the gang and is given a second chance to be cool while they look for another car to joyride in.
There's a little inconsistency with the other kids in this little crew because they're like so worried that Chuck was going to get run over, and then they see Chuck again like, look at this loser.
Yeah.
They're conforming Mike.
Right. It's one of those things where I'm like, I think a lot of this was written on the go because when they're filming the chase scene, the other two kids are like turning on
Mike
a little bit.
They're like terrified.
They're like, I don't think this motherfucker knows how to drive.
He clearly doesn't.
Like, but then like afterwards they're like, oh yeah, you chicken, you should have gone on the joyride with us. Like,
yeah, I'm sure you had a lot of fun.
My favorite part of this, and I don't know if you noticed this, is that they're trying to be like tough boys, and then two of them get on the same bicycle meant for one person. There's like the
tall, 'cause they're poor,
I guess. There's probably like the tall black kid. and either the short one with the long hair.
We're just having some fun.
Yeah. He gets behind him and he puts his hands on his hips.
He's riding bitch.
And he's just like, all right, you chicken, we gotta go. Like, bro, y'all look like idiots. You guys are crotch to ass right now. You have no room.
At least Chuck has his own bike for now.
Right, right. The boys make fun of Chuck for locking up his bike, so he doesn't. Naturally, the bike is stolen, and the gang won't help Chuck look for it.
When this happened, I'm like, oh, one of them got their vehicle stolen. Ironic.
And I mean,
too bad it was Chuck, but...
And that's going to come back around.
Yeah.
Billy finds Chuck, who admits he always loses when he listens to his friends. Billy remembers the words of the elders and modernizes the Shakespearean quote he was given. He tells Chuck that what he may want may not be what... He tells Chuck that what he wants may not be what his friends want, and that shouldn't... And that should do... And that he should do what's right, even if he's called a chicken.
Wow, I really butchered that.
No, because that's how they fucking said it. They're like, I know because I typed it as he said it, basically. He's like, oh, the things that you want might not be what your friends want, but what you want is the right thing.
And
what they
want.
Sounds like
Martin Sheen in The Amazing Spider-Man.
A little bit, yeah, because he's trying not to say the Shakespearean thing.
If you have the power to help someone, then you have the responsibility
to do something about it. It sounds like you're trying to say that with great power. Come, no!
No, we're not doing that line.
We're not saying it.
That was the worst thing about that movie, was that they decided to like sidestep around that for some reason. That was weird. Weird choice. Great movie. Weird choice.
They report the bike stolen to the police and drop Chuck off where he encounters his old friends trying to steal another car. Chuck reaches in and takes the keys. And the gang wrestles before they toss Chuck in the back and ride off. Billy sees their erratic driving and Mentor suggests Captain Marvel can catch them. Billy steps outside, says the magic word Shazam, and transforms into Captain Marvel.
And he's flying like a mile in the air.
He go in unnecessarily high. Yep. But again, it's safe footage.
And then
footage.
He like dive bombs.
Like he's in the clouds. I'm like, bro, they're 2 blocks down the street. You didn't have to go 40,000 feet in the air.
Maybe that's the only like little background reel they had.
That's, yeah, pretty much.
I will say the transformation doesn't look terrible for the time.
Again, they only have to do it once.
Yeah.
It's the same one. Yeah. That's why he's wearing the same shirt in every episode.
But I thought the transformation scene was pretty cool for, early 70s.
Yeah. The boys remark that they are being pursued by Captain Marvel and ditch the car at a junkyard to hide in a junk van.
You know he was watching you do that, right?
They're like, we got Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel! Like, he's famous.
Apparently, everybody knows who he is. Yeah.
The boys start turning on each other, regretting their behavior, when the claw pulls up the van to be crushed with the boys inside. Captain Marvel hears them and pulls the van down long enough for the boys to jump out.
This happened so quick that, like, I looked down for a second at something. I looked up and, like, the van was, like, being crushed. I'm like, what the fuck just happened? I had to rewind it, but, like, this all happens in, like, 20 seconds.
I keep calling it a claw. Is there another name for that?
I don't know, not a crane.
It's like that, the thing to crush the cars.
But it's like, it's a claw that like picks it up though. I don't know what, you're in construction, you should know what it's called.
I don't crush cars, I don't work at a junkyard.
Well, maybe you should.
Jeez. Captain Marvel tells the boys they'll have to face the juvenile authorities and that it took a lot of guts for Chuck to stand up to them. Chuck says no one likes being called a chicken and the gang stand around awkwardly, where they do not apologize to Chuck.
And then the screen goes black and the episode ends.
Dude, the whole time I'm like, all right, so what's the next line? There is none. Cut. And I'm like, okay, notable omission is that none of the boys go, hey, man, we're really sorry.
Did anybody learn a lesson?
No, they just stared at each other for an uncomfortable amount of time.
My note literally just says, well, nobody likes to be called chicken. End episode.
That's it. But there,
it just ends.
There's so much time where I'm like, all right, someone's going to apologize.
Nobody apologizes to Chuck. They're just like, oh, man, I can't wait to get out of this awkward situation.
Just sitting there waiting for the show to be over.
It's very meta. What a jarring ending to that.
That's episode one, everybody. Let's get to episode two. The brothers.
Ah, yes, the brothers.
At a river, a blind boy named Chad is trying to get away from his older brother, Danny. Meanwhile, Billy and Mentor hear a flash of thunder, meaning it's time to call the elders. Billy recites. Oh, great. You I wrote have it down. It. I wrote it down. He says, "O elders, fleet and strong and wise, appear before my seeking eyes." And when he's
transported to the
he does this
cartoon realm.
It. Yeah. the elders tell him that someday his own identity must be revealed to save a human life. He may meet someone less fortunate who needs to be shown how worthwhile his life is. And to use the words of the poet William Wordsworth, the best portion of a good man's life is the little, nameless, unremembered acts of kindness and love.
That's actually pretty good. That's a good quote.
That's a good poem. Yeah. this obviously confuses Billy. And Solomon basically is like, too bad, figure it out. What does that mean?
We're not telling you.
It's so cryptic and so unnecessary. Because what they're essentially doing is spoiling the episode. It's like, hey, you're going to meet a kid who is going to like need you to tell him that he's worthwhile. Minutes from now,
you are going to.
Right.
Yeah.
And by the end, you're going to have to reveal your identity in order to save a life. And Billy's like, what? He's like, that's all I can tell you. Like, why are you giving him clues for like
spoilers without context?
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. It's the meme.
Yep. Also, and this is like happened in every episode that we watched. We'll get flashbacks to what the elder said 2 minutes after they said it.
Oh, yeah. Every time the elders will say something so cryptic, Billy can't make sense of it, right? And they're like, figure it out. You got to go now. And then, like, as the things start happening, Billy starts remembering and then does a flashback to the thing that the elder
said.
But to
us, it's like, they just said this.
Right.
These episodes are not long.
Mere minutes ago. It was at this point, because my notes get all frantic here, this is when I started getting annoyed, and I wrote down, what is this arrangement that they've got? Why wasn't there a pilot movie to explain this? Who is Mentor? Why is he nameless? Why is he perpetually road tripping with a teenager?
Well, they mentioned they're on vacation.
Did they really?
In, like, the first episode, when they're like, oh, yeah, we're on vacation.
You know what the most conspicuous part of all of this? They have the big Captain Marvel logo just slapped on the front of the Winnebago. And the whole, like, I saw it, but it didn't really compute to me that, like, Captain Marvel's, like, famous. They know who, everyone knows who
he is.
It
also looks, like, super out of place on the front of it.
Because later on, in the third episode, that one girl is, like, talking to Captain Marvel. She's like, oh, if only Billy were here, I could thank him or whatever. And Captain Marvel, who is Billy, right?
Yeah.
He goes, oh, I'm sure Billy knows deep down. And then here comes a fucking Winnebago with your own logo on it. And like Mentor comes out and he's like, oh my God, it's Captain Marvel. What the fuck, man?
What's going on here? They're really bad liars.
What was anybody thinking? Again, this is like no effort put into this. It's just a minimum effort.
I'm sure Billy knows deep down that you're grateful.
Well, when you got an old man and a young boy on a perpetual road trip
together, that's already kind of odd.
There needs to be some background information. You need to explain their relationship because it's never, ever explained in the show. Again, the comic had to jump in and be like, oh, no, that's his uncle.
That's Billy's uncle. Don't worry.
That's Uncle Deadly. He's just changing it up
that's
a little
uncle
bit.
Mentor.
They're not, and as if being an uncle is any less creepy, but like at least now it's familial.
It's a family trip. Yeah.
Bro.
Why didn't they just make Mentor like one of the elders or like the avatar for all of the elders or something?
Well, here's something I thought about too. Do you need the elders at all?
No. All they say is, you're going to help somebody today.
It's almost embarrassing the level of quality. Even then, it's hand drawn. They're not animated. Only their mouths move.
Right. It like it's just a like an art piece.
Right. Like even back then, I can't imagine them going like this is absolutely necessary for the show. You could have done the moral lessons and everything just without that.
You know what would have been even better if you just got like statues of them or something and not animate anything and just have the voice come out.
Yeah.
I fixed your show.
You remember like Full House? Where every episode is about a moral lesson, but like it's a little bit more interesting.
Yeah.
And it's more kind of a more fleshed out plot. Like,
well, it's because you have more interesting characters too.
Well, sure. Yeah. You have more than two characters also.
Yeah.
You could do something where you don't have to like literally spoon feed it to your, and I know they're kids, but still, to your audience, literally telling them, like, hey, this is what you're going to learn today.
You are going to reveal your identity to somebody.
It's just spoilers, really.
That's all it is, yeah.
Chad blindly... I didn't mean to do that. Chad blindly crosses a street and is almost run over by Mentors of Winnebago.
Wait, you didn't mean to type blindly?
Well, because he didn't look, but it...
But also he can't see.
Anyway. Billy and Mentor help him up when Billy realizes he's blind and the subject of the elder's advice. Chad complains that ever since he lost his sight, everyone treats him like he's diseased, especially his older brother. Chad refuses any help from his brother, and Mentor drives them home. There, Billy suggests Danny might be too overprotective and should let Chad try out some independence. He also talks to Chad, who suggests that a lot of great people are blind, such as Jose Feliciano, Ray Charles, and Stevie Wonder. To cheer him up, Billy ties a bell to a football in order to play catch with Chad. Danny congratulates his younger brother, but warns him to be careful, which just upsets him into trying for a running catch, instantly tripping. Chad storms off.
Is it fucked up that I laughed at that?
Oh, I laughed.
I'm like, come on, kid. You're just being stupid at that point. Also, is it weird that Billy kept saying good boy?
Yes.
Every time he got the ball?
It was very weird, but I was saying, it's one of those...
Is he a dog?
It's one of those things where I just think it's the 70s. Like, this was a complete... Like
all right, good boy, Chad.
Yeah, this is a different world that they're living in.
It seemed very demeaning.
I think from our... Again,
maybe
I
from our lens.
Modern sensibilities, yeah. I think back...
He's like, all right, listen for the bell.
Yeah.
Good boy. I'm like, Jesus. This is a human.
Yeah, you know where he didn't want to be treated like inferior?
This is exactly what you're doing right now.
All right, good job.
And
claps for Chad.
Oh, God forbid his brother says, all right, just be careful.
Yeah.
That's like, I'll show you.
That's Sable. If I ever tell her to be careful and she goes extra dangerous.
Well, I'm going to do a flip
now. Yeah. The ball's on Billy to correctly put Jose Feliciano ahead of Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder.
That's good.
I was like, are you Puerto Rican? I looked him up. I think he's white. It's hard to tell.
He doesn't look white, though.
Not here.
He looks,
could just be the hair.
He looks mixed. But his skin looks a little darker. He could also just be tanned.
He looks pretty white now if you look at him as an adult.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But in the show, like, he looked like overly tanned.
Yeah. So if you don't know, Jose Feliciano is the guy who sings Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. So anyway,
it's a great song, by the way.
That song's actually, and we've talked about him before on the podcast. He's a Puerto Rican guitar player. The song is not that representative of his career. He's an incredibly talented guitar player, and
he doesn't do that much of that in that song.
No, because his label was like, hey, do a Christmas song, and they wrote that one in minutes.
And here's the thing, though, it's a fucking hit.
It was one of those things where, like, you didn't expect it to be a hit.
It's a pretty good song. Have you guys ever heard it?
Yeah, I saw him in concert once, and he put on an incredible performance. The guy has perfect pitch, too. So, like, he's tuning while playing guitar. Like,
insane that anybody could do that.
Yeah, well, I mean...
I guess being blind helps with that.
Yeah, but I think that's a myth, too. Like,
well, to a certain extent, I'm sure your other senses will, like, compensate a little bit to make up for your loss of one.
I mean, maybe.
Or maybe you're just more in tune with it because you have to be.
That could be it, too.
Yeah.
And then also, like, Ray Charles, Stevie Wonder, like, these guys are musical geniuses. Mm-hmm. You know, they're
also blind.
Total savants. Right. That's why they were all in this conversation. But, no, Jose Feliciano's incredible. So, at that concert, yeah, at one point, he played, like, Flight of the Bumblebee on the guitar.
Hmm.
Like, using all his fingers simultaneously. He's like, it was crazy. And then at the very end, he's like, all right, I'm going to play the song that made me famous. And it was, like, the middle of the summertime.
Yeah, at least he recognizes that.
Oh, for sure. Like, I mean,
like a lot of artists will be like, they don't like the thing that made them famous, or they think they've moved past it.
Right. But can you be mad at it for, like, making you gajillions of dollars?
I think if you're, like, a humble, grateful person, no, you cannot be mad at that.
National treasure, that Jose Feliciano. Oh, there's a part that made me laugh. One of those 70s things. Chad goes, and do what? Sell pencils on street corners? What?
Did people buy pencils on street corners?
Was that a thing? Yeah. It's like a lemonade stand.
Did you need pencils that bad?
I mean, they're kids. Oh, they only have pencils.
Right, but, like, you know, stores sell them. The local corner shop probably has them.
It's the 70s. It's a whole different world back then.
That's true.
Danny, Billy, and Mentor go looking for Chad, who has run off on his own yet again. Danny runs into a rattlesnake and gets bit, but runs to find Chad anyway. Danny tries to go for help, but Chad forces him to stay put as to not move the venom around. He goes off for help on his own. Chad finds Billy and Mentor and tells them about Danny's bite. Mentor tells Billy the only way to save him will be with Captain Marvel's help. Billy realizes what the Elder said would come true. He would have to transform in front of Chad, and his secret would be revealed.
They didn't need to.
Well, that's the thing. I kind of like that. He could have just transformed, and like they didn't have to tell Chad what was happening. He could have just been like, Shazam, and Chad could have been like, what's happening?
What happening? Mentor's nothing.
Like, nothing. He's blind. But because the
episode... Billy just likes to say Shazam when he runs off.
Right. It was a magic trick. You missed it. But because they're trying to treat Chad like a fully able-bodied kid...
They're just assuming he saw it.
They're going to be...
They're going to treat it like he saw it.
Right. They're going to be like, hey, we have to tell you a secret. And I'm going to turn into Captain Marvel now or whatever. And
before your very eyes.
Right. Did he say that?
No. But
okay.
I'm so glad he didn't.
I was like, what?
It seems awfully convenient that the person that they reveal his identity to is a blind person. Because nobody would believe him.
But it's
either.
A good... I get the
it's
lesson.
It's a good lesson. Yes.
Yeah. You're treating him like he's perfectly normal.
Because he is... He's still a normal kid.
Yeah, sure.
He just has an issue that he has to deal with.
Right. Billy yells Shazam and transforms into Captain Marvel, who Chad immediately recognizes. Chad uses his other senses to bring Mentor back to Danny, but Danny got up and started walking around, having no faith in his blind brother. He pays the price when a rock slide knocks him unconscious. What? I love that later on they come back and he's just buried in rocks.
All right.
He'd be dead.
This kid has the worst fucking luck.
Well, that's what he gets for getting up and not.
He gets bit by a rattlesnake, first off. And then, like, in trying to get help, suddenly there's a rock slide and it just gets him.
Right.
I also love the stock footage of the rattlesnake.
Oh, for sure. I feel like I've seen it 100 times.
Yep.
I feel like every show in this era had a rattlesnake. Did they not do that in like the Brady Bunch or something?
Probably. And I know in the Hulk show they use like stock footage of various animals too. Right. Yeah.
Not that bear. That bear was fucking real.
That was insane.
Chad brings Mentor to where he left Danny, but he's not there. He hears Danny's pathetic voice from under the rocks, and he and Mentor save him. Captain Marvel arrives to the scene just in time to administer the anti-venom serum. He radios the hospital for instructions. That seemed like a very Superman thing to do, where he's like, all right, now I have to call the proper authority so that they can give me the instructions on how to use
because
this.
I don't know how human biology works.
Yeah.
I thought that was actually a cool scene, though.
Have you noticed that every time Captain Marvel does a superhero landing, it's a close-up shot on his butt?
Are they trying to sexualize him?
But did you
for the moms?
Did you see that?
Yeah.
It's every
is
time.
Is it for the moms, you think? That are probably watching this with their children?
Is it?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know who they're targeting.
I think every criticism I've seen of this show is, who is the demographic?
I don't get it.
Is it young kids or is it teenagers? Because
teenagers will think this is lame.
Well, that's the thing. The last episode, it talks down to you like it's meant for like little kids. You know, to learn life lessons and morals. But the subject is about carjacking. So it's right. Like a teenage problem.
Maybe they're trying to get the kids right before their preteens.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Danny admits to being foolish for not trusting his brother. Later, Billy and Mentor run out of gas and walk to the nearest station. When Mentor suggests that Captain Marvel appear to help, he's met with angry thunder from above.
Why?
It's a joke.
I know, but like, come on.
I actually like this because the show has a proper ending, this episode.
This might be the only episode it does.
Yeah, yeah, because it ends on that a joke. Seen. Or it ends on...
Yeah, yeah.
You see Billy and Mentor driving
I'm
off
actually surprised they didn't like freeze frame them laughing or something after this. Like,
several of these episodes end on the moral.
Being called chicken sucks.
Awkward silence and cut.
No, like, this is one of the better endings, but it's such a lame joke. But also, like, why can't Captain Marvel help them out? Why do the good guys have to suffer?
Yeah. I'm bringing this back to what we talked about the other day. I was like, I'd be a Power Ranger all the time.
Well,
like,
apparently you can't do that.
Everyone's yelling at us.
Yeah, they're yelling at you.
But we know that. They just don't know. It's out of context.
They don't know that we actually know stuff about Power Rangers. We did our research.
Yeah.
I think we talk about the like the tenets of being a Power Ranger in that episode.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. Episode 3, Thou Shalt Not Kill. right off the bat, I was like, this sounds dark. I don't know about this.
Yeah, I was like, is somebody going to get murdered? I thought it was about, like, mugging people at first. Like, you know, like, oh, man, give me your money or I'll kill you.
Or I'll stab you.
Anyway.
A cowgirl named Lynn rides her horse named Beckett. Her father, the sheriff, and a man named Nick appear to tell her that Aunt Jenny's will demands for Beckett to be euthanized.
What a weird thing to have in your will.
Oh, my God. Yeah, none of this is plausible, I feel. Nick claims that he's a killer horse and he has it coming. Because I guess, like, he fell off of him or something.
Once?
Or he got trampled by Beckett because his fucking leg's fucked up.
Who cares? Yeah, like, you probably fucked up.
Yeah. It's probably his own fault.
Yeah.
The sheriff tries to talk him out of it. Meanwhile, as Billy is drawing a caricature of Mentor, the elders call on
him. All right, this looks nothing like Message.
They tell him that there's always a way to work things out through reason rather than impulse, and that animals were given to us to love and protect, not just for our benefit.
All right, so spoiler.
Again, all they do is fucking spoil the episode, yeah.
So you're going to have to stop this horse from being euthanized.
Right.
That caricature was, like, it was well drawn, but it was terrible because it looked nothing like the person it was supposed to.
Yeah, but that was also the joke.
I know. It was kind of funny.
It was fun. That's the thing. That felt
It was a little funny.
It felt like a genuine moment, didn't it?
It did. And there was a little bit of chemistry there between the two.
That was
probably the best acting we've seen on the show.
Agreed. I think that was the highlight of everything.
And he's like, I have more hair than that. He does like one little squiggly hair sticking out.
All right. And then he makes a pun.
What was the pun?
I don't remember. Lynn steals Beckett from her father's and Nick's possession. She gallops past Billy and Mentor and falls off Beckett. She pleads to Billy for help finding him and explains her situation. In the Winnebago, she asks Billy why he thinks her Aunt Jenny would ever want Beckett to be killed in the event of her death. He remembers the elders talking about selfish and possessive love and suggests maybe her aunt didn't trust anyone to love her horse like she would.
So he'd be better off dead.
Right. That's a very generous take on the situation. Like,
it sounds like she's just insane.
Right. It sounds like Billy was like playing it off a little bit as to not disrespect her late Aunt Jenny.
Right.
But fuck that bitch. What?
Yeah.
You don't get to just say, I
feel like
if I die, my pets have to be killed.
I want my pets to be taken care of, not killed.
Yeah, I want the opposite of that. What the fuck?
That's not love.
And I'm sure, I don't know if this happens for real or not. I hope it doesn't.
This is a
bad TV script. I shouldn't be upset with this. This isn't real. You know what I mean?
But is it?
That's the thing. Do people do this?
Listeners, do you do this?
Surely not.
I really hope not.
We should ask our friend Lada. She knows all about horses.
What does that have to do with euthanizing?
Oh, maybe she's heard of a situation where someone's done this.
Or we're just going to upset her by bringing it up.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, let's get her to watch this episode. See what she thinks.
No, she'll hate it. I mean, horses get hurt in this episode. And there's nothing that...
Oh, shit, a horse does get hurt.
And the horse is acting. But, like...
There's nothing that says no animals were harmed.
Well, that's the thing. I think this predates that.
Oh, fuck. Did they really, like...
I don't think they heard it, but like it looked like they had there was like a perspective trick because it was like the horse laying down and it looked
like already not good though.
Don't they lay down sometimes for tricks or something?
Do they? I thought they were like too heavy for that shit.
Oh, he got up just fine. I feel like it was a trick.
I don't know.
Like an animal actor.
Anything about horses.
All right. Well, anyway, it looked like the tree wasn't really on top of him. Like it was a perspective trick. Like the tree was in front of him, you know?
Okay.
I don't think they put...
I hope they didn't drop a tree on a horse for one scene in a children's TV show that really isn't that good.
I don't even think it was a prop on top of the horse. I think it was like a perspective thing.
I hope so.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. They return Lynn to her father, who gives her a talking to. Lynn knows to respect the law, but if the law calls for Beckett's death, she cannot respect that. Billy suggests changing the law, but the sheriff says the law is the law and that Beckett will be put down by noon.
Jesus.
Lynn is still hellbent on stealing Beckett, but Billy thinks that there are legal avenues to explore.
Okay, Matt Murdock.
Yeah, right. Later, Billy and Mentor have organized a protest with picketers and signs that say, "Animals need a voice," and "Thou shalt not kill."
This is the most silent protest ever. Also, they're just like walking around a circle in silence.
There's four of them too.
It's very underwhelming.
I was not optimistic. I was like I understand taking like legal avenues or whatever, but the government is famously very slow.
Yeah, no, that's not going to get resolved in an afternoon.
You have until noon.
Well,
before the horse
maybe
is
we can legally make this work. Also, like, man, that guy is really hell-bent on executing a horse.
Well, here's the thing. I kind of appreciated it because we have a legit villain, which we didn't have before.
Yeah, that's true. But they don't fight him.
No, but they still need to beat him.
Legally. With legally. The law.
Yeah. Very important.
Beat him with
license.
The book.
Yeah. No breaking the law. In response to the protesters, the sheriff extends executing the will until 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Whoa.
Yeah. Unfortunately, however, the judge is gone for the week.
So that was pointless.
Frustrated, Nick goes after the horse, and the sheriff goes after Nick, and Billy transforms into Captain Marvel. The chase ensues with Nick following Beckett and Captain Marvel following Nick. Beckett tries hiding from Nick, using a tree branch to conceal himself. This horse, did you see that?
It's very human-like for him to do.
He just goes into...
He's like, huh.
He, like, goes into, like, behind some trees and he pulls some shrubs and he, like, is legit, like, hiding himself.
I don't think that's regular horse behavior.
Nick runs into a tree in his car, knocking it over and collapsing onto Beckett.
Jesus Christ.
Apparently, hopefully...
What a series of events.
Hopefully no horses were hurt in the making of this
yes,
show.
Yes, but... We actually don't know.
Can't rule it out. Nick gloats over Beckett, who's still stuck under the tree. I haven't misspoke, by the way. This is exactly what's happening.
Yeah, no, like, what?
He is... I love it.
Like, this is, like, insane, like, not really in a good way.
It's getting kind of dark, especially if you were to consider that, like, if you think of the horse as a human, which is... How the show seems to be treating this horse. He's very smart.
Right. And now this human is stuck under a tree with a man standing over him about to kill him and bragging
and
about
and
it.
And gloating. Yeah. 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 It's a horse, bro.
I got you now. Like, fuck you, Nick. Like, God.
Oh, what a piece of shit.
Absolute piece of shit.
The sheriff and Lynn arrive and try to move the tree. Despite Nick pleading, they put Beckett out of his misery.
Oh, yeah. Now he's like, oh, yeah, it'd be better to just kill it.
I love that they don't fucking discuss the multiple laws that he's broken in the meantime.
Yeah.
Like, Nick just went on a chase after this horse. The sheriff doesn't seem concerned with that. He's too distracted with, like, oh, the horse is hurt. Let's, like, shoot him or whatever. Except the horse is fine.
Well, the thing is, the sheriff's like, you know, he's actually got a point.
That's assuming he's hurt, though.
Yeah, we don't know that.
Right.
We just know he's stuck.
Just then, Captain Marvel arrives and uses his super strength to move the tree off of Beckett. Beckett stands up, perfectly healthy.
And runs away.
But there's only 20 minutes left before he has to be put down. The sheriff tells Captain Marvel the only recourse left is to get a court order, but the court is 500 miles away. No problem for Captain Marvel, however. He flies to the courthouse and he returns the order, rescinding Beckett's execution.
Forget the flying 500 miles part.
Right.
I get that. He got a court order in less
in
than
20
minutes.
In less than 20 minutes. Yeah. That's the part where I was like, all right, I can believe that he's super fast. That's not a problem. Even though I thought about doing the math, seeing how fast he would have had to fly.
That's not the part I'm worried about.
He walked into a court, got a judge, got a court order, and got out of there in 20 minutes. Bullshit. Nonsense.
Somebody's using his status to get what he wants.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Captain Marvel. Give me a court order to save this horse. I feel like the judge would be like, huh?
Mentor delivers the moral lesson to be learned. Nothing in this life really belongs to us. We only borrow it while we're here. I don't think that was the lesson at all, but sure.
Episode ends.
Yep. Very abruptly again.
Oh, man.
This was my least favorite, I think, out of the three.
I think so, too. Yeah.
But that's all we're going to watch. We're not going to... It's three. We did three episodes, which is maybe one too many anyway.
Yeah, I think the first two are fine. We watched an hour of this.
Yeah. Analysis on this. What do you think about a Shazam TV show?
I think it's like a pretty good kids show. It's not at all a good comic book show in the slightest.
Yeah, I don't think this is. I think this has some saving grace in that it tries to do good. Yeah, it's definitely earnest.
Oh, yeah.
It has a good message. Even when they're, like, confusing and the plot's a little...
But it's like, it's trying.
It's like the horse one. Like, I don't really know what the takeaway was.
Don't...
It seems to be like, respect
even,
the law.
Yeah, respect the law, even if it means someone's about to get executed and there's nothing you can do about it.
Like, there was a potential horse murder involved, and the lesson seemed to be like, back the blue, right?
Yeah, it was just weird.
It was just a little odd, yeah.
I'm confused as to what the actual message was in that, because it wasn't what Mentor said.
Yeah, first two seemed fine, honestly, like peer pressure and like...
Not like treating people like they're subhuman.
Yeah, if they're disabled, yeah. Right. That seemed good, honestly. I went to high school with a kid who was blind, and it was very hard for people to know, like, how to go about that.
Right.
And it didn't help that, like, the kid...
Was he a dick?
No, he was very nice.
Oh, okay.
But his coping mechanism was self-deprecating humor.
So he'd
make a lot of, like, blind jokes and stuff like that.
Which is actually kind of cool that you could do that, but also, like...
It's very uncomfortable. You're
like, do I laugh at that?
It's very uncomfortable. Uh-huh. He was a cool kid, though. He was very nice.
But, like, I kind of have respect for people that it can be a little self-deprecating about their condition, though. There's something respectable about that.
Right. Look, we talked about this. There's not that much to really pick apart. It's fine. This is not a... It's not a special superhero. Like,
as an adaptation, it's pretty terrible.
Oh, yeah. No. As far as superhero shows go or movies, it's bad. Right. Again, they're doing the absolute minimum.
Like I said before, I think this was meant to be a different show.
Could
probably
well be
about a kid and like his uncle that go around. I don't know what the fuck they're doing. Like,
well, then what are they doing? Then what's the show?
Making the world a better place?
Is that it? That can't be it.
But like, it feels like that's what the show was meant to be. And I don't know, some studio or some executive was like, let's make it a Shazam show. Or a Captain Marvel show. Right. That's popular now.
It's very phoned in, though. Like,
yeah.
There's just so many elements that make you question what the intention was. There's no real story to talk about. Again, there's morals in every episode. Some are better than others. Some work pretty well on their own. But as a Captain Marvel or Shazam TV show, it's a superhero thing. Not really.
No. And, like, it's just boring.
It is very
boring. Like, it's just boring. Like,
I think it would have worked for me if I was... a kid in the 70s.
Maybe.
And like, there was nothing better. You know what I mean?
If there was absolutely nothing else to watch, I guess it's okay.
Yeah, maybe I'm being a little forgiving, but... there's plenty of like wish fulfillment in a character like this where like the kid gets to turn into a superhero.
Right, but they... So far, what we've seen, they've not really addressed that, though.
Yeah, no, not really. Not
it seems
episodes,
more like
a
burden.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I have to help people.
There's one action scene that seemed pretty good.
In
the first episode. It seemed like almost cinematic, honestly. That's where all the, you know, money went to or whatever. The rest of this is just, it's kind of nutty. It's kind of all over the place.
I have no desire to finish it.
No.
Maybe I'll read like synopses of the episodes just to see what's going on.
Yeah.
In Billy Batson's life. Out of curiosity.
Actors, we've got, I didn't mention them. Michael Gray plays, Billy Batson, Les Treyman, British actor, plays Mentor. And then you have Jackson Bostwick as Captain Marvel. By the way, here's a fun fact I didn't tell you. This show fucking fired Jackson Bostwick because he didn't show up to work one day.
Oh.
He did a no-call, no-show one time, and they
fired their star?
They fired him, yeah. Because apparently they thought he was out for more money because... This is why
he just missed work one day.
Yes, they were like, "Oh,
I mean, missing work in like the industry, like it's a big deal." But
apparently, he was in the hospital for like an injury he had sustained on the fucking show.
Oh well,
this is why unions exist, by the way.
Yeah, I'm assuming this wasn't a union project.
It's to prevent bullshit like this. He ended up suing them and like got paid for the rest of the season.
Oh, good for him.
But they replaced him with an actor named John Davey,
who we did not see.
No, he's not in this episode. These were all Jackson Bostwick.
What season was he fired on?
Two, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, like, what, midway through is just a different actor?
Yeah.
That's confusing.
Imagine.
He was out for more money. He's like, no, I was hurt.
The actors who play, the voice actors who did the, there's only two of them, who did the Seven Elders.
Okay.
I read somewhere that it's possible at some point Adam West was doing some voice work, but uncredited.
I didn't really hear Adam West.
Yeah, you would be able to tell, wouldn't you?
He's got a very distinct voice.
Maybe in a later episode, but in these three, he's definitely not in it. And then the costume is something about that cape. It's very 70s.
It's got that like not in a good way.
It's got that flower pattern.
Yeah.
You know what it looks like?
A blanket.
Yes, but The Price is Right. You remember the old episodes of The Price is Right where they kept the 70s aesthetic?
Yeah.
And it had those kinds of patterns. It's like flower patterns.
Yeah, really ugly.
That's his cape. Yeah.
So his cape's really ugly. No, the costume does not look good. And that's to be expected.
I mean, for the most part, it looks like Captain Marvel. It's just that cape
pattern. Oh, yeah. Captain Marvel's costume is also very simple, though. It's like, oh, red, lightning bolt, cape.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's it.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, that's all I got. Let's do Keep or Cancel, which is not going to take very long, by the way.
I don't know anything about any of these people.
Keep or Cancel on the kid who plays Billy Batson. His name is Michael Gray.
All right.
Best known for his portrayal of Billy Batson in the 1970s TV series Shazam. Yeah, that we know. Also from 1972 to 73, so that'd be right before this show. Uh-huh. He appeared as Ronnie Collins in the first season of the Brian Keith show.
Never heard of it.
This happens every time we do this. Like, we don't know any of these shows, but hold on a second. He appeared as Marsha's boyfriend, Jeff.
I know the Brady Bunch.
In a 1973 episode of The Brady Bunch.
I know that show. What were we watching where, like, it was like an evil character that said he missed the Brady Bunch reunion? Was that Power Rangers?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
After Shazam, he played himself in a show called Dina. And then that's pretty much it. That pretty much ended his acting career.
Oh, he didn't do this long.
No, this is essentially the end of his acting as in Shazam.
Oh, shit.
After that, he's been in a few things as himself.
Like, hi, I'm the guy that played Billy.
Exactly. Yeah, he was in Comic Book Men, which was...
Oh, that's kind of cool. That's a Kevin Smith show.
Yeah.
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 They used to come on, like, right before The Walking Dead.
Oh, really?
On AMC. Yeah. It's like Pawn Stars, but comic shop.
Right. Yeah. Right. And then they'd have, like, guests, celebrity guests and whatever.
Yep. And a lot of, like, cool comic book trivia. Actually, if I can find that streaming anywhere, I kind of want to watch that. It was a fun, like, interesting thing to watch. Yeah, it
takes place in his comic book shop in his secret stash in Red Bank, New Jersey.
By the way, Kevin Smith is off weed.
Is he
said
really?
He's 5 weeks off weed and he doesn't want to do it again.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, he, like, wasn't a stoner until like, a few years ago. Like, right after his heart attack.
That's when he started smoking?
That's when he started smoking.
Oh, okay.
So, like 5 years ago or something. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So, like, he made a career for himself making stoner comedies.
But he wasn't a stoner.
But he wasn't actually a stoner. He was just, like, in the culture.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And then he became a stoner.
And now he's
dying. And he's like, I'm kind of done with it.
That's interesting. So, anyway, he did do some minor acting. He is in a few episodes of Archer as himself.
That's interesting.
Oh, it's kind of hilarious. I don't know if you've seen Archer.
I've seen a few episodes.
Archer is full of, like, deep cut references, like, super
deep. I know, like, the character that Lucille Bluth played was, it's basically Lucille Bluth in Archer, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, she's like the same mannerism, same everything.
No, it's, so Mallory Archer is literally based on Lucille Bluth.
Yeah. And it's the same voice actor.
It's the same actor, yeah.
Well, she's dead now, I believe.
Yeah, she died. Yeah, she died last year.
Yeah.
Or the year before. I don't know. Time is
Time's been weird lately.
Yeah. So in Archer, he goes by TV's Michael Gray, as if he had like an illustrious TV career.
That's funny.
He's kind of the butt of the joke, except Archer is the only one who recognizes him and gets super excited because he...
Does he recognize him from Shazam?
Yeah, because he loved Shazam.
What the fuck?
I watched the clip earlier today. It's great. I'll link that below. There's a scene where Michael Gray says something like, it'd be great if he could transform into Captain Marvel right now. And Archer's like, it'd be great if you could transform into Jackson Bostwick right now.
What the fuck?
Because Jackson Bostwick was big and muscular. And Michael Gray is scrawny.
That's actually pretty funny. What the fuck?
It's such a deep cut.
That's a very deep cut.
If you never watch Archer, you should. I've seen about half of it.
I know that the main actor is voiced by the guy that voices Bob from Bob's Burgers, Ace
John William,
and they
Ace, I think it's
the and same. They kind of played on that in one of the episodes.
There's an episode where like he has like
he loses memory or something.
Yeah, he has like amnesia.
Bob from Bob's Burgers.
He thinks he's Bob, but it's a scene of Bob's Burgers. But it's in the animation style of Archer, which is so weird.
Surreal and weird. I really love the show Bob's Burgers.
Ace John Benjamin. Sorry, no. I don't know what I said. But that's all I got on Michael Gray. So that's it. I don't know.
We can keep him. He seems like a pretty stand-up guy, honestly.
Based on just that he went on that show just to make fun of himself, I think that's great.
No, I love hilarious. When like any sort of celebrity might be pushing it. When any sort of actor or something is willing to like... take some punches like that, because like clearly like somebody that made Archer is like a fan of that.
I just think they go for the deepest cuts. I don't know if anyone was a fan so much as they're like, what's like, an that'd obscure be funny. Thing yeah,
because another thing I can think of similar to that is, have you ever seen the movie Ted?
Yeah,
with the Flash Gordon thing.
Flash Gordon, yeah, but Flash Gordon was very popular though.
Not anymore.
No, but that, I mean, for a certain, I guess, for age
somebody
group,
Mark Wahlberg's age, yeah,
I think maybe a little bit older, or maybe, no, but he's not that young.
I think Seth MacFarlane is a Flash Gordon fan. I could see that. I could see that.
I mean, maybe, yeah.
But no, like something like that, though, where it's like, oh, let's get this, you know, old actor from like this really old thing and just like, you know, bring it back for a second. Usually for a joke. I don't know. I like that.
Cool, yeah. So keep all the way.
Yep.
All right. Into the Phantom Zone, Shazam TV show from 1974. Birdo, final thoughts.
If we put it into the Phantom Zone, do we lose that Archer reference? Is Archer also pulling it out of the Phantom Zone?
I guess it just goes over our heads. I don't know.
Oh, shit.
I think you're overthinking it, honestly.
I'm overthinking it. This will go in the Phantom Zone. It's not good.
I think so, too.
It's not good at all. I don't know if there's really much value here. Like, there's some good lessons to be learned in these episodes.
Yeah.
But nothing that you can't learn from any other PBS show.
I really tried. I tried finding the good in this.
I actually went into this with a pretty open mind.
Yeah, of course. And I just thought it was earnest. It's kind of hilarious in a bad way.
Unintentionally.
Yeah. At the same time, like, I think this might be good if it's the 70s and you're a kid and there's nothing else on.
That's not a good enough reason. Right.
That basically means it's only good in the past. So why would you ever want to pull it out of the Phantom Zone? It's like, if it's only good in the Phantom Zone, then it needs to stay in the Phantom Zone.
Yeah. Right? Maybe someone in the Phantom Zone can enjoy it.
Yeah, if you got nothing else
maybe
to watch.
Maybe Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance can enjoy the life lessons here before he goes around judging people.
Look, if you and I aren't willing to like put this on in the background, then
I'm absolutely not willing to do that.
I find it difficult other people would,
like,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong, this wasn't unwatchable or anything, but like, I'm not gonna go back to it.
Yeah. So yeah, there you go. It's in the Phantom Zone. So that's it for us. So here's what we're gonna do next. By the next episode, we'll be reviewing Shazam Fury of the Gods. And then there's the Super Mario Brothers movie coming out.
I think it's just titled Super Mario Brothers.
Okay.
Not to be confused with Super Mario Brothers the movie, which is the one coming out.
I just said it in a sentence, like the Super Mario Brothers movie.
True.
That's coming out early April. And it's not, I mean, there are some comic books involved in Mario, by the way.
And it's kind of, at this point, become a multimedia franchise. It's beyond just a video game.
It did around Mario 3.
Yep.
Mario Bros. 3, it became, there was a TV show, there was a comic book.
There were novels.
Yeah, it went all out.
Yeah.
So I think we should do the infamously horrendous Super Mario Bros. Movie starring...
Bob
Hoskins and John Leguizamo.
And Dennis Hopper.
And he's the villain, isn't he?
He's King Koopa, yeah.
Oh, wow. There
a lot of big names in this.
Yeah, let's do that next.
All right.
Anyway, guys, that's it for us. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thanks to that piano dude for our musical intro. Make sure you leave a rating or a review on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. I saw that we've got a new review in, or a new rating in, so thank you very much for that 5-star rating.
Hell yeah.
Apple. Please tell a friend, and if you told a friend, thank you so much for telling a friend. The power of word of mouth is...
very powerful.
Yeah, not to be underestimated. especially when things like podcasts. Like, if you guys like us, you think we're doing a good job, hey, tell a friend that might also enjoy a good listen.
Yeah, apparently it's not many podcasts that do exactly what we do is what I'm hearing.
There are others. I found them. I go stalking to see,
I've been told that it's hard to find
what
people.
What the competition is. Some people, no, but I mean, I've seen...
Maybe the specific stuff we tackle.
I've seen some YouTube channels that do shit like, you know, old TV shows, old movies.
Right.
Deep dive, stuff like that. So, yeah, no, for sure.
I'm honored to be a part of that niche.
Yeah. Absolutely. You can support the show on Patreon if you'd like for as low as $3. You can join us, and there's outtake episodes you can listen to and be a part of our second podcast called Where's Mephisto? Birdo, where are we looking for Mephisto?
We're looking for Mephisto in The Mandalorian right now, season 3.
Season 3, yeah. So that's coming out soon, and we'll be doing that weekly. But we look for Mephisto in all kinds of things. He's got to be out there, and we're going to find him.
Oh, he'll show up.
It's inevitable. We'll find what's most sus, right?
At the very least, yeah.
We'll round up a usual line of suspects of where he could be hiding.
I still think Jake the Goat is a good contender.
Oh, Jake the Goat's definitely an associate.
At least,
100%.
Right?
100%. Yeah. Anyway, guys, if you'd like to be a part of the show, we stream this live on Twitch every Monday night. twitch.tv/filmsfrompz, 8:30 Eastern time. Come hang out with us like our good friends Jorge and Arculus have been. You can find the show, or if you want to hang out with us throughout the week, you can join our Discord server. It's absolutely free. It's linked below. It's a chat service, super easy to use. Talk to us all week long about all kinds of stuff and our little community we've got going. You can find us on Instagram at Films from the Phantom Zone, at TikTok from Films from PZ, Twitter Films from PZ. If you are listening to the show as part of a recent influx we had from TikTok, hey, welcome aboard. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for listening. And we've got 80 some more episodes.
At least.
Something like that. We got a bunch.
Yeah.
And like 20 more on our Patreon. So, hey, there's plenty more of us to go around.
Lots of hours of content there.
If you're having fun here. So thanks for joining. And most of these episodes are available on YouTube. And other than that, guys, I think we will see you next time reviewing Shazam Fury of the Gods.
Bye.
Okay, bye. I don't know if you had something to say.
I didn't know what else to add.